Go to TMA Electric in Port Huron for all your electrical needs. From service upgrades to LED lighting to a full system check and oil change for your generator, along with preventative maintenance. Call 810-266-1450 or stop by. They're at 2514 Chestnut in Port Huron.
On this Friday morning, if you turn your radio on early and listen to First Light Monday through Friday from 5 to 6 a.m., our next guest's voice will be familiar to you. Michael Toscano is on the line with us right now. Michael, thanks so much for giving us a few minutes. Good morning.
Happy to be here.
So we wanted to talk to you because I know that you've spent years, prior to anchoring First Light, covering the Capitol. I mean, that was your workplace for many years, wasn't it?
Yeah, I pretty much spent most of my adult life here, and when I first came here, I used to walk by the Capitol. I lived for many, many years on Capitol Hill. I mean, right there, you know. You'd look out of the backyard, and there's the Capitol Dome. And I used to, I mean, I still would get a thrill after years and years of walking by, especially at night with the lights on that big white dome, and sometimes you'd see the light at the top was on, and you know that the House or the Senate was in session. And so it feels not just like a workplace, but it feels like home. And I used to think, I'm walking in this building that I used to see the pictures in the school books when I was a kid. So, you know, I've always had such a reverence for that place.
Absolutely, as so many people do. But on Wednesday, that reverence was nowhere to be seen by the protesters, the angry mob that overtook the Capitol building. Now, you've seen a number of protests over the years, people gathering by the tens, hundreds of thousands on the Washington Mall for a variety of causes. Never before Wednesday had we seen anything like we did this week, though.
No, not like this. This was completely different, and you know, people had a couple of days here in town. Things were getting strange with the town filling up with people. There were skirmishes between, and I don't want to say all these people were Trump supporters, because there were people there who come from a lot of different organizations and who came early looking for trouble. But there was a skirmish just the night before that sent police officers, D.C. police officers, to the hospital over at the Black Lives Matters Plaza. And there were some Trump people there, but there were some other people, and I don't know who they were, people with different agendas, but we knew that there was trouble. I mean, for days, stores were boarding up their windows. I mentioned to my wife, you know, it's a good thing we're not moving around much right now, because nobody wants to be on Capitol Hill right now. It's so dangerous. Everybody knew it was coming. It was in the air. It was a colloquial thing. I just assumed that there were guards there. I know that the mayor of D.C. had put out a call, and she said, I've requested the National Guard, and the National Guard was never authorized. And we know when it finally came down to Vice President Mike Pence sending in the National Guard, it was too late at that point. But we've never seen anything like this, where this many people moved almost as one and just completely overwhelmed the police on the perimeter. Who I guess were totally unprepared for it, because they didn't have reinforcements there. They had just the standard kind of crowd control barriers, not security barriers, but more just the things that tell you where to go and where not to go. So, yeah, this was something quite different and very surprising.
Very surprising and very scary. It's almost sort of another 9/11 moment where, you know, we took our safety and our security for granted before 9/11, and then we saw how vulnerable we were and tightened things up. I would think the Capitol has got to be looking at some of their vulnerabilities now and looking to seal things up, especially with the inauguration now less than 2 weeks away.
Yes, they're already rethinking that. Of course, the protesters swarmed the stands that were being built and did some damage there. There's more damage inside that building, I think, than people realize. The place was really trashed. Computers were taken, documents were taken. So who knows what's in the crowd and what the material they've gotten access to now. But yes, the Capitol Hill police chief said, "I'm out. I'm resigning." Something went terribly, terribly wrong there. I was watching this on television, and by the way, my wife, who is an immigrant, my wife, who fled the communists in China because they were trying to recruit her to join the Communist Party when she was in college, and she said, "I'm not doing that." And they ask you once and you don't do it, fine. They ask you a second time, you don't do it, you'll find yourself out, you know, in a rice paddy in Mongolia for the next 5 years for re-education. She came to this country. She was in tears saying, "Look what these people are doing to our capital." She said, "This is the kind of thing I left. you know, countries where things like this happen. So the security is going to be definitely changed. It's changed so much since I've lived here. When I lived here, you could drive your car right up to the steps of the Senate if you wanted to. You could go there. You could catch a cab there at the steps of the Senate or the House. Now you can't get within blocks of the place. You know, we used to go sledding on the Capitol lawn and in the wintertime, or, you know, just go for walks on the grounds and sit up there on the West Front and look out at sunset at the beautiful city. You can't do any of that. It's going to get tighter and tighter, and that means that the citizens of this country are losing access to their house, their building. It's going to be impossible. It's become so difficult, especially since 9/11, and this is going to make it just worse, and it's a dreadful, dreadful thing.
It absolutely is. Talking with Michael Toscano. He's on First Light, 5 to 6 a.m. Weekdays here on WPHM. What's your takeaway from this week? Because I know that you've talked to a lot of, your reporters, correspondents, analysts, and that's what we love about First Light, is that you always ask the right questions of the right people. Heading into this weekend, where are we at right now as a nation?
I think we are very confused. You know, there are people. There were a lot of people in that crowd who are angry and upset, and they're upset because they feel like the country that they love and the things that they cherish are that they're losing. It's becoming a different society, a different country. It's much more pluralistic. It's much more open to different kinds of people and things. And there are people who are suffering from economic pressures that they didn't expect to have when they were younger. And it's very, very difficult for a lot of people. Those people are angry and upset. They're not necessarily the ones who are crashing through windows and doors and trashing the place. That seemed to be a younger crowd, and I don't know, as I say, what all their agendas were. So I think there's there's anger on the part of people, and there's incredible sadness. I told you, we sat here with tears in our eyes watching this happen, and not just because the building is being trashed. That's bad enough. It's the building is a place to be treasured, and I spent so many hours of my life in that place, and I know those hallways. I know what it's like. I feel very warm going in there. But it's also, you know, what it says about we as a people, how divided we are. And I don't know how long it's going to take if we can ever come back together. And maybe we'll never be as tight as we should be, but we should at least be able to coexist, even if we don't like each other. And maybe that's the best we can hope for. But this is a very, very sad time. It's a time of uncertainty. You know, my wife was saying, you know, she knows what's going on over in Beijing. And she says, you know, President Xi and then those people, they're looking at this and they're laughing and they're saying, look, these people are doing what we can't do. They're bringing themselves down. Vladimir Putin is probably feeling the same way. Look what they're doing to themselves over there. They're doing it better than I could do it. And so it's a very unsettled time. And I don't know, you know, but plus we have the pandemic, which has,
of course,
put such fear into everything that we do. I went to the dentist yesterday for the first time in well over a year. I did not want to go, but I thought, if I don't go, I'm going to start having troubles, you know. And so, I mean, I did not want to do that. I mean, the place was very clean, all unbelievable, you know, safeguards. But still, I don't go out. I don't mingle in public. I wear a mask, and everybody is afraid of what's going to happen. There's so many people who have lost people. It's the most unsettled time to be in this country in my lifetime, and I was alive during some pretty, you know, disturbing things. So I'm hoping that we'll get a new start somehow, that somehow there'll be a refreshment. I have a sister, and she said, you know, I'm optimistic. I think maybe this will bring us together. And, you know, I'm not an optimistic person. I'm maybe a little more cynical, having been in Washington all these years, but I'm hoping she's right and I'm wrong.
I sure hope so, and I feel like the events of this week are a turning point of some kind. I don't know which direction we're going to turn, but I think this is a pivotal moment in our U.S. history, and we're here to watch it unfold each and every day, and we do that first thing in the morning with First Light. Michael, great talking to you. Thanks so much for your time this morning. Thanks for all you do. Appreciate it.
Great to talk to you, Paul.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.